Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paula Nunes with the Taz and Paula Show, and I have with me Barbara McGillicuddy. Barbara is the Florida State Coordinator for Catahoula Rescue and knows firsthand the great need for our little ones, we're referring to the little animals, and how big the task. Helping the animals has been her life's dedication and work. Now, Barbara, could you tell us the story and what pushed you into, I wouldn't say pushed you, but guided you into starting this rescue?
Oh, I'd be happy to. In 1995, my husband and I took a trip to Louisiana, St. Bernard Parish, which sadly doesn't even exist anymore, but we picked up a Catahoula leopard dog puppy, and she was our dog. And my husband unexpectedly died. And
he was very young.
I beg your pardon?
He was very young, wasn't he?
Yes, he was 37. He had a heart attack, which is just crazy.
What a shock.
Yeah. Well, it threw me into a terrible depression. And the one thing that kept me going, I guess, was the dog, because I'd have to get up out of bed to feed her and let her get out to use the restroom. And there were some pretty dark times for me. You know, I had lost my world. And slowly but surely, I started to pull myself out of the funk. And I realized the one reason that I hadn't left this earth plane was because of this crazy dog. And so after I got my head back together, I decided that I owed it a debt to society in her honor, and I looked around to see if there were any kind of rescue groups for Catahoula leopard dogs at the time, and there was one just starting. There was a lady in Texas and a lady in Louisiana, and we got together, and that was the first forming of Catahoula Rescue for the nation. We're now a national 501c3 charity rescue, and we are proud to say that we have rescued thousands.
Now, until I read your story, I had not even heard of a Catahoula dog.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell our listeners exactly what is a Catahoula dog and where they came from?
Sure. Catahoula leopard hound is what they're technically known as, and they were actually an American-born breed in that in the 1500s, Hernando de Soto came over with his war dogs, quote-unquote. They were mastiffs and greyhounds. And when he left the area, he left these dogs behind, which bred and interbred with the native dogs, which actually weren't dogs. They were red wolves that were semi-domesticated. In the 1700s, the French came over and introduced the Bougeron. Well, they left those dogs behind as well, and what happened was through the centuries, these dogs interbred, and it became one dog known as the Catahoula Leopard Hound, and it was actually called a breed in 1970 and named the state dog of Louisiana by the governor at the time.
Well, when you hear the word hound, I mean, when I hear the word hound, I always think of a hunting dog. Are they used for hunting or?
Yes, they can be. They're used for herding. They're used for many, many other things too. There's a gentleman that's a retired police officer in Abita Springs, and he used his Catahoula as a cadaver dog. So they're extremely versatile. They're very intelligent, and I can't imagine one task on this earth that they could not do. They're therapy dogs. I use one of my older guys as a rescue therapy dog in that I take him to various schools and groups and talk about shelter work and rescues and so on.
So they must be very gentle.
They're actually quite hyper in the beginning. They're born and bred to work. So what you have to let them know that you are the alpha, and you have to exercise them. And after everything calms down out of their puppiness, they become extremely loyal, yes, and gentle, loving, caring, beautiful pets. But you really need to do your research, as with any dog, if you're going to adopt a dog, and find what their temperaments are and what you're up against, you know, bringing them into your family. Some dogs are better as pets than others. And frankly, I don't think that I would recommend right off the bat a Catahoula Leopard dog for anybody. They have the temperament and the energy of Border Collies and Australian Shepherds, which, you know, need a job to do as well, or they create their own fun.
Well, that's probably why a lot of them end up in the rescue, because some owners think they want one and then decide later that that's not the dog for them.
I'd say that's a big part of it. A lot of the breed have these piercing white-blue eyes, which makes them really unique, and they have them kind of a spotted merle, well, they call it a merle coat. I don't want to say spotted because you'll think of a leopard, but they have merle coats. So they're very interesting, and they're very unknown to most of the public. So it's kind of neat for somebody to have a dog, you know, that's different than everybody else's dog. But, you know, you've got to deal with the temperament and the energy and, you know, this is going to be a big dog. Can you handle it, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, before you did your rescue work, you actually, you probably are still singing,
mm-hmm.
and writing books. So your singing has actually worked into this project that you have, that I think is so great. You've created some children's stories and songs. You want to tell everybody about that?
I'd be happy to. In rescue work, we are kind of treating a symptom by pulling these dogs out of shelters, and we need to continue doing that because, you know, it's the only way that we can save these poor animals. I strongly suggest that people adopt rather than buy, because there's so many dogs in the shelter systems. But, you know, it came to me, I'm a very spiritual person, and in a meditation I said, you know, what can I do with the talents that I have to do more? I mean, as I said, we're treating a symptom. What are we going to do? What can I do to help make a difference? And it came to me that, speaking, you know, to myself, you have all the tools that you need. Why don't you create a children's book series? And what I did was I took the animals that have come through the rescue, and I made them into little characters and wrote a book regarding, and the book is based on real animals that have come, real dogs and cats and so on that have come through our rescue. And I created a book series called Adventures in the Kingdom of Mim. And the idea behind this is to, in the stories, to tell the plights of the animals about overpopulation and, you know, the need to spay and neuter, and how reaching out to the youngest generation and making them understand about their animal friends and the things that they've got to go through, if we can touch the younger generation, we have a chance. That's the big picture here. You know, as I said, we're treating a symptom, pulling dogs out of shelters, but if I can create an entity that tells sweet little loving stories about the animals and I reach the youngest generation, maybe, just maybe, we can slow this down and do something about this horrible overpopulation.
Well, that's wonderful. Your books are self-published. People, can they buy it other than on your website, or is your website the only place to buy the books and music, the CDs?
The website's the only place right now. I'm doing my best at marketing and getting it out there, And I intend to write many, many more. I have many stories in my brain, and it's my intention to use the website as a tool to, you know, reach up and bigger and broader.
Well, as you say, that each story is based on a real animal that's come through your rescue center.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, when I was looking at your website, the it even brought tears to my eyes when I was reading the story, was a dog you actually named Hope. And there's a picture of her laying next to St. Francis. And did you write a book about Hope?
Yes, she's actually in book number 5. It's called Hope and Inspiration to All. Hope was a very, very big, big event in my life. There was a lot taught about animal love and the big picture with this little being, but it started with emails coming to me about this dog that had been dumped in a shelter in North Florida, and I had been away. And so pleas had come from all over the United States, one from Montana even, saying, please go up and have a look at this dog in the rescue, because she's obviously over 10 years old. She's a senior dog, and we all try to work a little bit harder with the older dogs or the dogs that are, you know, at a disadvantage. And I got to the shelter after a several-hour drive, and what I saw, I was so not ready for. Here was this old dog, literally dumped off on the side of the road. The animal control had to pick her up and bring her in, and she was just so covered in fleas. It was like the Peanuts cartoon. You know, where you have Pigpen, every time he plops, you see a plume of dust go. Well, every time she plopped down, you'd see a ring of flea dirt fall off of her, which led me immediately to look at her gums, and she was so terribly anemic. I just didn't know how this dog was on this planet. And come, you know, after more looking her over, I found that she had tumors. Many tumors all over her as well. So, of course, we picked her up and we brought her back down here to where I live in Mims, Florida, and took her to the vet the very next day. And they gave me some really terrible news, which wasn't terribly unexpected, but Hope had metastasized osteosarcoma, which is, you know, just a big word for bone cancer, and it had already spread into her spleen and her lungs. And they told me, you know, this dog's pretty bad off. Why don't you think about go ahead and getting her out of her misery? And, you know, as I looked at this being, she had the most soulful eyes, but she wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't look up at anybody. You know, I don't think this dog knew one day of human love, not one. I think she was set out somewhere and forgotten about. And it became my quest that maybe she's got 2 weeks, but she's going to get 2 weeks of human love before she leaves this planet, because I'm going to dedicate myself to her so that she knows that human beings aren't horrible creatures. So we opted to take her home with lots and lots of pain medication and to treat the symptoms. And I just basically gave her love every single day, and we got to the 2 week point where, you know, I was told she would probably not last two, and woohoo, she was still here. It was a miracle, really. And a little bit more time went on. We got to the end of 1 month, and, you know, I'm saying, thank you, God. Now, I haven't gotten too far with her looking up at me yet, but, you know, this is a miracle to me. This dog was so bad off, she shouldn't even be on the planet 2 weeks, and here she is at 1 month. Well, carry on to the end of 2 months, and I finally had my first miracle. That dog looked up at me, looked me in the eyes, and it was almost like she was saying, okay, so you're all right. Maybe I'll give this a little bit more time then. And I had a faithful, loving companion ever since that day, she would walk behind me, follow me wherever I went. If I had to go out into the back field of our property, she limped, but she, you know, she followed me, and I just had a soul friend, you know, in this dog. And we passed 6 months. We passed a year. Now, this dog wasn't supposed to last 2 weeks. Here we are at a year. Well, 1 year, 5 months, 8 days later, hope left me. And through my tears, as I was laying her to rest, I said, thank you, God, for teaching me the real power behind love, what love and kindness can do for one being. Kept that dog on this earth for a year and 5 months, 8 days, when she was so riddled with cancer, she shouldn't even have lived. She just shouldn't have. And
that's a miracle in itself.
Absolutely. It's just a testament to the power of love.
And then the story that you told us in an earlier interview about the 10 puppies you inherited.
Oh, boy. That was a treat. Well, I already had 11 rescue dogs at my house. Now, that sounds alarming to some people, but let me let you know that I have several acres, and my life and my home is dedicated to caring for these animals. I have a 3-car garage that's been turned into a place to care for the animals with heat and with air conditioning, and we've got several runs. So I've got room for them, and I've got the time and the love and the patience and the funds to take care of them. And anyway, we had 11 dogs, and I got a call from a friend of mine saying that there was a mother and 10 puppies down in Miami that was going to get put to sleep if we couldn't find something in, yes, 15 minutes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You can't even make a phone call in 15 minutes. But the shelter was so overrun, they were about to get inundated with a dog ring bust, meaning they had 50 or 60 animals coming in to the shelter system, and there's nowhere for them to go because they're already overpopulated, so they were forced to euthanize. And I said, no, I'll go ahead and take these dogs. And it was a mama, like I said, and 10 puppies. Well, got them to the house. And the puppies were about, I'm going to say, 6 or 7 weeks at the time. And they started sneezing and coughing, and which is, you know, kind of typical with shelters because we run into kennel cough. And that's kind of, you know, that's a 50% chance you take. They've gotten better these days, but back then it wasn't, you know, so swift. Anyway, as time went on, I realized, this is a lot more than kennel cough. This is a lot more than pneumonia. I don't know what this is, but it is awful. And these dogs were so sick that I literally had to give them Pedialyte every 15 minutes. Now, some were stronger than others, and I had this one little girl. In fact, I still have her. Her name's Carolina, and she was the runt of the litter, and she was so small and so ill, I took her in a basket with me everywhere I went. If I had to go, so I worked at a church at the time as music director, well, at a different church. I still work as a music director, but and I took her with me to church on Sunday so I could sneak in and give her her Pedialyte, clean her up, and then sneak back into the sanctuary while the preacher was preaching. But anyway, come to find out, we called this disorder the Miami crud because we didn't have a name for it. As time went on and in our near past, they have designated what my dogs had as canine influenza, and that is 80 to 85% of the time fatal. You just don't pull them out of this type of a thing. It's just, you keep them separated from your other dogs at all costs, and basically it's disgusting. You just watch them die. There's nothing you can do. But because my set of dogs were in the shelter system for less than 4 hours, they had just come in, and that's how quick they were getting turned out. They didn't get, they got the germ, but it wasn't, you know, they weren't around it long enough to really get the full blow of it. But I got the full blow of it. Oh, my gosh. With Carolina and her sisters and brothers and the mama dog, I did so many loads of laundry, of bleach laundry. I ruined my septic system. I had more vet bills than I've ever had in my life, but we won that one. And I've got friends down south that pulled puppies that didn't win. And it was so heartbreaking. You know, we'd talk on the phone or we'd email each other, and we just cried because they went through absolutely everything I went through just to hold lifeless little bodies in the end. And it's heartbreaking. I don't have any other way to put it. This is when you dedicate yourself to this kind of work, it's an emotional roller coaster. But, you know, it just makes us want to work all the harder to save even more. And so that's where the idea from my book, my children's series came around. I'm hoping and praying it kicks with the younger generation and they can learn through loving these little characters to care for our animals in the future.
You wrote about a book about Carolina.
Yes.
Yes.
Carolina's real story. And that book was dedicated to her, and well, that was another subject matter when we wrote about Carolina. Oh, excuse me, when I consider myself writing with spirit, so that's why I say we. But when I wrote the Carolina story, I wrote it more along the lines of being accepted. In the story of Carolina's little book, all of her mom and her siblings were all adopted except her, and she thought that she was unlovable, and which was exactly the opposite. You know, Miss Barbara, the person that takes care of these puppies, which of course is me, took care of her so closely that she fell in love with her and decided to keep her forever and ever and ever. And so in the end, she, you know, they sing these sweet little song ditties too. But she realizes, you know, she overreacted and she's more loved than she knew. And, you know, we learn a story for the children through love and acceptance with the Carolina book.
And the Hope book was about accepting death.
Accepting death. That was the most beautiful story. I had to do something really special with Hope because she was such a special dog. And what I did was I made her into an older, elderly dog that comes to the Kingdom of Mim, which is watched over by the kind Queen Boo. And little Carolina is the little character that you have, is like the child you have to explain everything to. Well, when Hope came to the rescue, she was very tired and went to her room, and the next day she went to the vet, and little Carolina had fallen asleep. And when she woke up, they were back from the vet, and she overheard Queen Boo and Miss Barbara talking about the fact that Hope had cancer, and she probably didn't have too long on the earth plane. And Carolina ran to her room crying and crying and sobbing and sobbing. And Hope, hearing her, came into her room and sat on the bed, and Carolina looks up at her and says, "Oh, Hope, I overheard Miss Barbara and Queen Boo sing that you had cancer. Are you going to die?" And actually, Hope smiles at her and says, "Well, child, yes, but that just means I get to go home where I came from, and I get to lie in the arms of the Lord again. And when I get to the other side, my mama and my daddy are going to throw me the biggest party heaven ever did see." And she says to little Carolina, "And you know what? In many, 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 many years, when you come over too, I'm going to throw the biggest party heaven ever did see, because my best friend will be coming home." And Carolina says to Hope, "Can you tell me more about that?" And Hope says, "Sure." And the book ends with them walking hand in hand out in the meadow about what a great day that will be.
Well, if people want to buy your books for their children, they can get it through your website.
Right.
which is, you want to give it out?
Sure. KingdomOfMim.com. KINGDOM of MIM.com with www.
And that comes from the town that you live in.
Correct. I live in Mims, Florida. I just took the S off.
That name sounds so magical. And you said it was magical in how you came across the property. So
it was. It was just very strange. My husband, as I said, had passed, and I was coming to visit my mother-in-law and up in Mims, and I lived in a completely different town. And I decided to start wandering around, you know, north of her area, and I came down this street, and I saw this tiny for sale sign on this beautiful, beautiful piece of property. And, of course, I got out of the car, jumped the fence like I'm not supposed to. And when I got up to, somebody had actually put a home site, you know, brought the dirt in, the grass had grown over it. When I stood on the top of the home site, there was a beautiful pond in the backyard. And it had been really beautifully manicured and well taken care of by an elderly gentleman that used the property to golf on. But when I stood on that property, I felt as though I was standing in the finger of God. I was so taken by the nature and the beauty and the mother earthly, there was just such an essence of Mother Earth and the beauty that our earth gives to us. As I stood in the middle of this property, I knew I had to run, get that phone number, call that man, and make a down payment right now. Right now, and I did.
So that's a home of many little beings that come to live with you.
That's right, the Kingdom of Mim.
And what's your rescue website?
CatahoulaRescue.com. That's CatahoulaRescue rescue.com. If you can remember that the cata does a hula, you'll remember how to spell Catahoula.
And your books and your CDs go towards taking care of these little beings.
Right. A portion of the, well, I have to pay for, you know, getting them put together and paying the artist to draw the beautiful pictures and so on, and pay for the recording and all that. But after that's done, a large portion, another reason this whole idea was born was so I could fund the rescue, because it's so very expensive trying to care for animals and with vet care. And, you know, animals that come out of our rescue are 100% healthy, and we guarantee that. And that takes time and money and all kinds of things. And also, when you adopt a dog from Catahoula Rescue, there's a clause in our adoption agreement that says you, if something were to happen along the lifespan of this dog to where you could not care for it anymore, the dog comes back to me. So it's got a guarantee for life, more or less.
That's wonderful. We just have 1 minute left. Do you want to give say something, a final message to our listeners?
I would say I hope that when folks choose to adopt or go out and find themselves an animal, that they will choose to go to a shelter or a rescue, because we are so overpopulated that thousands and thousands of dogs are dying and cats are dying every single day. Please do your homework and find out about the breed first so the dog doesn't wind back up in the shelter. But, you know, there's so much love in our shelter system just waiting for you to come and be part of, and you will have a loyal, loving, non-judgmental friend for many, many years. So please consider shelters and rescues.
We've been talking to Barbara McKillicotti. And her website is kingdomofmim.com. And go and visit and look at her books and her CDs and her stories about her dogs. It's wonderful. And she has a beautiful singing voice, and you can hear that on her CDs.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
So we'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
Great. Bye.
Bye-bye.